Welcome to the Marketing Mantra Podcast, brought to you by 99signals.com, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of marketing topics, including SEO, social media marketing, content marketing, blogging, and more. Take your blog to the next level and achieve massive traffic growth by learning top blogging strategies discussed in the Marketing Mantra Podcast. And now, here is your host, Sandeep Mallya.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of Marketing Mantra. For the first time on this podcast, we are going to discuss cryptocurrency. More specifically, we are going to discuss Solana, a cryptocurrency that's quickly gaining popularity, and it was a rising star in the latest crypto bull run. Solana is now ranked 7th in the list of world's top 10 cryptocurrencies in terms of market cap. I have been an enthusiastic crypto investor for the past few years. I've had my share of fortunes and misfortunes. So I would advise anyone who's listening right now to always proceed with caution and also do ample research before they dabble into cryptocurrencies. Today, I'm joined by Vijay Kalangi and Srikant Kalapur. They are the founders of Soulraiser, a newly launched decentralized developer ecosystem for the Solana blockchain. Before he co-founded Solana, Srikant served as the VP of engineering at Polymorph, which was eventually acquired by Walmart. He has over 15 years of experience building highly scalable products. And Vijay Kalangi is the co-founder and CTO of Nullscape. He has over 14 years of experience building products in learning and edutech. Our conversation today will revolve around Solana, the Solana ecosystem, and their newly launched platform, Soulraiser. Vijay, Srikant, welcome to the Marketing Mantra podcast.
Thank you so much, Sandeep. We are very happy to take part in this conversation with you.
Thanks, Sandeep.
Yeah, really looking forward to the discussion today. I guess the first question I should ask both of you is about your entrepreneurial journey and what led you to launch a cryptocurrency company together.
Sure. So like you, both of us, we have been dabbling in cryptocurrencies since 2017. 2017 seems to be the year where a lot of retail investors kind of flock to the space. While we have been passive investors and observers of the space, while we had an interest in doing something back then, we were not really sold into the use cases being built. Eventually, the bear market hit, and then while we were continuing to observe, what we started observing back in 2020 summer is the rise of use cases around decentralized finance, DeFi, as DeFi, most of people call it. So that's when I got back in touch with Vijay, who has also been observing the space for many years now. And we started discussing around what we can do here, because now this seems to be a real use cases being built around decentralized finance. And one of the most obvious problems that we wanted to solve was help projects raise capital through a completely decentralized manner. So that's how we started building a platform or a launchpad wherein projects can come in, developers can come in and raise capital to through a decentralized mechanism. We initially started building that on Ethereum, to be very honest. But then we quickly realized that Ethereum is not going to work at scale. Mainly because of the network congestion and extremely high transaction costs. In order for us to support millions of retail investors investing in these projects and becoming part of the community, we wanted a blockchain that is extremely fast and very inexpensive to transact with. So that's when we completely pivoted to building on Solana. And that's how Soulraiser came in.
Right. Yeah, we'll get into Solana, Soulraiser a bit later. Vijay, anything to add? What about your entrepreneurial journey?
Absolutely. So I want to tell a small story about how it all got started, right? So yes, I'm going to repeat a bit of what Srikant told right now. So number one, 2017, almost all of it sounded like a fad, right? So we're really not sure of use cases. Other than DeFi, something that really interested me is Web3. So uncensorable social applications and the kind of storage solutions that we're coming up, right?
Right.
That was pretty interesting for me, right? So now my background is in maths and computer science. When I was studying cryptography in school, I was like, oh, okay, very, very interesting. But I never knew now this could be a $1 trillion market, right? So suddenly all of that came together. I think now it all makes sense. And when we met in Starbucks, Srikanth and I discussing the idea of this whole launch pad itself, right? So I think it hardly took us 30 to 45 minutes to convince ourselves that this is the right space. We're now jumping in. So yeah, that's how SoulRaiser discussion got started, Sandeep.
Yeah, right. I've just for the listeners, I've known Vijay for a long time. And whenever we used to bump into each other, we used to talk about cryptocurrencies. And I always used to ask myself this question, why hasn't Vijay started anything in the cryptocurrency space? And now here we are. Really excited to learn more about SoulRaiser. We'll get into that.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying you should have asked me that question a couple of years ago. Maybe I should have had this a little early.
So here's a question that I want to ask for anyone who's just getting started with cryptocurrency, like someone who's listening to this and they have just read about cryptocurrency and they would like to invest in cryptocurrencies using different exchanges here. How would you explain cryptocurrency to a layperson? Like, is there an analogy that has proven really effective and breaking down this complicated concept of cryptocurrency?
Okay, so let me get started and I'll also pass this on to Srikanth to add his own things, right? So number one, I think the name itself, right, cryptocurrency, for me sounds very cryptic because it has the word crypto in it. So right. Unfortunately, the origins are because, you know, the whole crypto currencies and the blockchain industry itself is built on top of cryptography as a technology, right? So, and that's where the name comes from. While we're looking at multiple tokens and currencies, not every token that you see is actually a currency. So it's very important to differentiate cryptocurrency versus a token that performs and has an utility on the blockchain, right? It's very important. And again, I strongly believe the name itself, because it's cryptocurrency, that itself kind of pushes away people from, you know, getting in and trying to learn more, because this is something that's probably overhead transmission kind of thing. I don't want to get into this. So maybe we should find a better name for cryptocurrencies, right? So that's one. And in terms of looking at investment, right? So just to be very clear, whatever we're going to speak today is not investment advice. Definitely let people, you know, use their own mind, do your own research.
That's a very important caveat. Yeah, sorry for interrupting, but yeah, that's something that we should say right in the beginning. It's a caveat that everyone should adhere to. Yeah, right, go ahead.
Yeah, this is purely based on our own experience and our own observations and some data, but please do your own research before you start buying into anything. So there are two-part answer to I would go about how to start getting into cryptocurrency as an investment, right? Number one, what is your affordable loss, right? Be very sure about that. Let's say you can afford to lose 1 lakh rupees. Specifically, we're talking to the Indian audience. Make sure that it's set aside and you are prepared to lose it. And now have a portfolio where, you know, allocate some of it for stable assets. And crypto is pretty volatile market, by the way. When I say stable, I don't mean stable coins. I mean coins that have been around for a lot of years and have been kind of stable. I'm talking about 30-40% volatility is stable in the crypto world, right? So Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the ones that have been there for long enough years and have actually successfully seen some good use cases built on top, those are the ones I would probably call them as safe investments. I would probably look at 30-40% allocation there. And depending on your risk profile, what is your safe investment amount is what you need to choose. And the other ones, I would probably put my money on the rising stars. And definitely, I foresee a world where BTC, ETH, and SOL, and of course, a few more L1 chains coexist, right? So that's how I look at it. Yeah, and in terms of the process, specifically for Indian investors, while I'm going to take some names of the exchanges, absolutely no relation or I mean, what I'm trying to tell is, so I'm going to take some names of the exchanges, but feel free to use any of these, right? So my personal preference is to use Wazirex and Binance. You know, you can deposit your INR into Wazirex and then start trading. And if you're comfortable there, I think Binance is a, you know, lot more complicated product. You could probably slowly graduate to Binance after figuring out your way in Wazirex. That would be probably a very quick process to, you know, get into investing into cryptocurrency.
Right. Srikanth, anything to add to that? What if your dad came to you and asked you, what is cryptocurrency? How would you answer him?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good question to answer because a lot of young people, especially people who understands a little bit of the technology, explaining cryptocurrencies, explaining blockchain. Yes, it is a difficult concept for even well-educated people to understand, but it is relatively easy for them to understand compared to a generation before us, right? Who have mostly been investors in, say, something like gold or maybe traditional stocks, which have a real asset behind it. Right. That's something that I keep hearing to a lot of people when I talk to, saying that, hey, what is this underlying asset that kind of supports the valuation for Bitcoin? What is that physical asset that supports Bitcoin? So it is kind of difficult for people who don't understand the technology to really kind of convince them that this is something that you need to look around. So yeah, it has been an uphill battle specifically for me, and I'm sure a lot of people who have been in crypto for very long. It's an uphill battle to kind of convince people who are not, who doesn't have a technical background. So the first focus, and obviously a lot of millennials, Generation Z and Generation X folks, they are able to understand technology. So it becomes relatively easy for them to understand what is going on. So the way that I would put out a blockchain or a cryptocurrency would be essentially ability to transact or exchange without a medium and without really having to trust any intermediary in between. It's just a trustless platform where you can exchange value between two parties without really worrying about the value getting lost in the transaction. Yes, there can be volatility while we're transacting with certain blockchains and we're not really talking about that today. It's more about ability to transact and within the transaction, the value is logged and the other party is assured that person will get what is being transacted. So that's probably the easiest way to explain someone who doesn't really understand cryptocurrencies to begin with. And I don't have much to add to how to go about investing in cryptocurrencies or how to design portfolios. Vijay has explained it very well. Essentially, just manage your risk profiles. That's all I would say.
Right. Now let's briefly get into SolRaiser, because we'll have a detailed discussion on SolRaiser once we have truly explored Solana, because it's very important to understand what Solana is before we get into SolRaiser. But if you could give a quick introduction to your newly launched platform, that would be great.
Sure. So let me try and simplify it into very simple words, right? What is SolRaiser? Mm-hmm. It does two things. For any company building on Solana blockchain, right? Mm. What happens is any company, even in the traditional technology world, needs two things for sure. One is they need to raise capital so that they can bootstrap the company and start building stuff. And then they need to actually build stuff. So what SolRaiser in essence does is help companies building on Solana blockchain raise capital and build fast. So how are we doing that? Raise capital piece, like Srikanth explained, right? So this one is a completely, I would compare this to crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter, where you have an idea, you kind of list yourself on the platform that we provide. And if it is interesting enough, if the roadmap is nice, and if you have a prototype already, or if you have a working product, what we could do is we would list that on the platform and people interested can participate in the fundraising process of that particular new project. Now, how does the actual, that's one piece of it, right? How do we help companies build fast? I know you said it's brief. Let me add only two sentences to this, right? One is building on Ethereum is relatively difficult than compared to building the traditional Web2 apps. Mm-hmm. Now, building on Solana is two or threefold more difficult than building on Ethereum. Primarily for multiple reasons. One is the language itself, it is Rust, it's a little more complicated, and also lack of community support and developer tools. So in essence, SolRaiser, while we were building SolRaiser, we realized that's a gap that we need to fill. So we also decided to help the projects build fast using developer tools.
Right. Thank you for keeping it brief, because we will definitely get into this later, both for projects that are on the Solana blockchain, and also for retail investors, how they can take advantage of your platform. Now, before we get into more details about your company, I think it's very important for us to understand what Solana is. So in plain speak, how would you describe Solana? How does it work? It'll be great if you can explain with examples and analogies to simplify this cryptocurrency.
Right. So so explaining Solana to someone who is already familiar with cryptocurrencies, a simplest way to say is that it is an Ethereum-like blockchain, but on steroids. Mm. It can execute your transactions extremely fast, of the order of 1,000x faster, and the cost of doing those transactions is 1,000x cheaper. So that is how I would explain. So now, in order to explain what is Solana for those who are not familiar with cryptocurrencies, just think of it as an infrastructure on which you can deploy trustless applications that needs to be scaled, especially financial applications, anything to do with finance, anything to do with gaming, where you need applications to scale and also be able to transact much, much, much faster and cheaper. That is what Solana provides for you. Think of it as an infrastructure like AWS, onto which you can deploy your applications, which will run extremely fast and take all the benefits of an L1 blockchain like Ethereum.
Mm. Anything to add to that, Vijay? Or are you happy with what you said?
I mean, I think I would rephrase it a little bit to keep it even more simpler. Everybody likes faster, cheaper, better products, right? So that's not going to change. I think Solana is the answer in terms of when you compare this with Ethereum, I think it's faster, better, and cheaper. So
there is one thing that Srikanth said earlier where he said it was you who said it's a bit more difficult to build on Solana than Ethereum, right? So is that going to be a bottleneck that you're going to face with your projects? Because ETH, as you know, because of OpenSea, because of the NFT marketplace, it's quite popular now, right? We'll get into that as well. But what is so the difficulty aspect of it? Do you think that is going to be a barrier to entry for some people?
It's a pretty good question, right? I mean, we kind of mentioned that earlier on, saying that it is difficult to build on Solana compared to Ethereum itself. However, when we're talking about building stuff on Solana, there are two parts, right? So essentially, anyone who is familiar with the JavaScript and frontend, you can use Web3 SDKs that are already built, and you can actually go a long way. And what Solana has also done is all the basic examples of, you know, how to do staking, how to do token swaps, how to build basic DeFi protocols. Mm. All of that is already built and deployed under a package called Solana Program Library, which you can interact with directly without really having to write code in Rust. Yes, there are complex use cases that need to be built, in which case one would start writing programs in Rust. But for someone who wants to start off, it is not that very difficult. The part that is difficult today with Solana is that there is it's an upcoming blockchain. I mean, Ethereum has a history of 6 years and Solana barely has a history of a year and a half, especially when it started becoming popular towards the end of last year or early this year, right? Mm-hmm. So there are already huge networks effects that we started seeing with NFTs blowing up and DeFi blowing up. A lot of people realize that Ethereum transactions are super high, network congestions essentially leading to those confirmation times taking sometimes even hours. And suddenly over the last few weeks, a lot of these developers, creators, collectors have started moving everything to Solana.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's almost like a light bulb, right? They just realized, hey, I can do this super fast on Solana and I can transact extremely cheap. I mean, the mint prices, I mean, someone who's familiar with NFTs know a concept called minting. The minting prices on Ethereum, I mean, there were times where it was costing more than $1,000 to mint an NFT, one single NFT on Ethereum, whereas on Solana, it is in cents. So when people realize this, the network started growing suddenly. That's why the recent spike in Solana is also backed by a lot of developers, collectors, everyone kind of, you know, moving away from Ethereum over to Solana.
Right. I think this is a Vijay, you can add to that, but I think this is a good way to segue into my next question as well. Solana is branded as the Ethereum killer, right? If you give a search on Solana, there are a bunch of articles which say the Ethereum killer Solana, right? So that's how people are branding it. Is there a way both these cryptocurrencies can coexist rather than, you know, one, rather than having an either or situation? Is it possible, say, 5 years from now, for both Solana and Ethereum to thrive rather than, you know, one killing off the other? Is that possible?
Yeah, I strongly believe 5 years in the crypto space is equal to at least 50 years. So it would be stupid on my part to predict anything for 5 years, right? So, right. But if you have to project into 1 to 2 years down the lane, right? So I firmly believe there is space for multiple blockchains, multiple L1 blockchains, right? So I think Ethereum, Solana, and some of these upcoming L1 chains as well, some of them are going to change. And the way I see it, maybe each L1 will be very specific to some of these use cases. For instance, if you think NFTs, it could be Solana. If you think DeFi, it could be something else. Polkadot, for instance, right? So I think the way it's going to pan out, in my own opinion, I would predict that there would be 3 or 4 strong use cases that would emerge, and there would be a specific chain for each of these use cases. That's how I see it.
Okay. So this other question that I wanted to ask you, and it's about the cryptocurrency community in general. There's a lot of, it's almost like a religion. When you talk about Bitcoin, when you talk about Dogecoin, when you talk about Ethereum, you go to Reddit, you have different subreddits, and it's like all of them are arguing against each other as to which cryptocurrency is the best. So if we are really looking at cryptocurrency as a viable investment, do you think that's a very healthy environment to be in? Because it's not good for someone's mental health when they're being, you know, when they participate in these different Discord communities or subreddits, and you have almost a religion-like fanaticism when it comes to cryptocurrencies. What is your take on that?
Again, I'll answer first and then probably Srikanth might add. So one is, there's a word for it, right? So maximalism, there are ETH maximalists, BTC maximalists, and Doge maximalists, right? So I think, so there are two parts to the answer, right? The conviction levels, when you're a maximalist, I think when it comes to investing again, the conviction levels really matter, right? So when I go all in, you can either go to zero or you're looking at 100x in terms of returns. So that way it helps, but definitely crypto is a 24/7 industry. It's not very good for your mental health for sure. If you're a maximalist, you're glued to your screen, you're reacting to the volatility, I think it creates a lot of anxiety. So I would only take long-term bets and not really, again, from a use cases point of view and how the world is going to be, I think it's going to be a multi-chain world.
Right.
But having said, when you're investing, I would probably go all in. Mainly because I started with affordable loss, right? So when it is an affordable loss, I could go all in. So two-part answer to that is, yes, maximalism is good according to me if you want to invest. But when you're looking at the world from a different lens in terms of use cases and how it's going to pan out, I would definitely take myself out away from the investment and look at it objectively.
Yeah, right. You also spoke about, investing from a long-term perspective. I think that's very important, even when it comes to stable coins. Earlier in the episode, you were talking about stable coins like Bitcoin, Ethereum, but even Bitcoin, there was a time yesterday when $10,000 were wiped out. The value came down to $43,000 from $53,000. So even with a stable coin like Bitcoin, where many people think that it's a stable investment, there is extreme volatility that can happen. So you have to look at it from a long-term perspective. I think that's a very important point that you made. Can you share with us some real-life applications of Solana? So if you have any use cases of Solana, if you can just share a few examples for our listeners to help to make them understand this crypto better.
Sure. So Solana has been a home of decentralized finance applications and NFTs lately. So I'm going to take a few examples. These are not endorsements, but these are the projects that we closely follow and we really love what these guys are doing, right? So one of the things that has kind of given a lot of legitimacy to Solana earlier this year is when the whole FTX team, especially Sam, started building a decentralized exchange called Seagram on Solana. I think that's really where I would say the kind of the turning point or the starting point for Solana, right? So that's when talk started. So yes, Seagram is probably one of the earliest use cases being built, and it's a decentralized exchange that is being built on Solana. So that is something to definitely watch out for. And then in the similar leagues, we also have very popular and some of the protocols that have started raking in a lot of total value locked are like Radium, Mango Markets, Saber HQ. So these are some of the protocols that we closely follow, and we really love what those guys are doing from a DeFi standpoint. And now when it comes to NFT, I think one of the projects that I've been closely following is Atlas. They have had a massive, massive launch, I think just a few days ago. And they've been doing really, really well. So all the gaming and play to earn kind of NFTs, they started moving to Solana, and Atlas is one of the projects that we have been watching. So these are a few of the examples that I would suggest anyone to kind of look out for, but there are over 400 to 500 projects that are being built on Solana. So we are very closely working with India developers who are participating in the Solana India Hackathon. Solrazer, we're part of the judge panel as well there. And we hope to see a lot of cool use cases being built on Solana. So we hope to see Indian community bring some unique applications onto Solana. So anyone who's looking for it, look out for some of the projects that I named, and look out for things which are similar to that.
Okay, got it. Anything to add, Vijay? Or
I think a couple more names come to my mind. I mean, Srikanth covered most of it, but Phantom Wallet. I think once it comes onto the, you know, they are porting it to Ethereum as well. It's going to support Ethereum very soon, and I think it is one of the most well-designed wallets that are out there, right? So I personally love it, and specifically when it comes to crypto, right? So design is a challenge. Most of it is really quick. So and already there are so many things to, you know, grapple with in your mind in terms of what am I doing, and if the user experience really doesn't help. And Solana, fortunately, I don't know if it's by design or whatever reason, right? Most of the products are really well designed. So Phantom, I would definitely recommend. Watch out for it. And Audius is another music streaming platform built on Solana. So again, music streaming, Spotify types built on Solana. I think that will be a very, very interesting project to look out for.
Okay. Very interesting. I think this would be a great time to segue into NFTs. And that's something that I've wanted to talk with both of you. For those of you who don't know, NFTs stand for non-fungible tokens. They are one of a kind digital contracts located on the blockchain. Vijay, Srikanth, how would you describe NFTs to people who think they're just JPEG images that can be copied by anyone?
Yeah.
Because they really look like JPEGs, right? I mean, when you go to OpenSea, they're just pictures, and they're not even well designed. So, and they are... Yeah. Astronomically, their value is astronomically high. So
there were a few memes where people post the pictures of someone's NFT saying right click and copy to just scare them. But yeah, I'll let Vijay share about NFTs.
Yeah. So just going into the definition of NFT itself, right? So while images turned out to be popular, NFTs are not necessarily images alone, right? So it could be any media, any asset, text. It could be any digital asset.
Any
form, right? So of course, we're now talking about, it could be audio, it could be video, it could be any other things. Now, what is NFT really, right? So if you have to compare this with fungible tokens are essentially everything that we usually speak about, which are not NFTs. These are essentially Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other token. Okay. Fungible essentially means you can exchange one to another, and doesn't matter what it is, it still remains the same value, right? 10 rupees note with one serial number versus another, they're both same. So that's fungible. Versus non-fungible essentially is unique art. Example, people usually take Mona Lisa's example when you're talking about NFTs, right? So what it essentially says is, you take a photo of Mona Lisa, you really don't own the art itself, right? It's because who owned it, who minted it originally is...
Da Vinci. Was that? Because Leonardo da Vinci.
Sorry about that. So Da Vinci was the one who actually originally minted. So that's the reason why original piece is important. But right now in the real world, everybody understands that because of design DaVinci, right? Whereas in the digital world, the moment you take a screenshot, you can claim as if it is yours, right? So now NFT essentially gives you a mechanism where there's a record on the blockchain timestamp saying, hey, here is the real owner. The person who actually minted this particular asset.
Okay.
That's all NFT is. NFT is just a record inside the blockchain, which actually stores proof of ownership of an asset. Nothing else. Okay. Now that asset could reside anywhere. It need not necessarily reside on the blockchain.
So to break it down, you're essentially getting bragging rights to that particular asset, right?
Absolutely. Now, like in real world, if you own Mona Lisa, you do get bragging rights, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing, Vijay. I can display the Mona Lisa behind me on my wall and I can tell people this is Mona Lisa, but I can't do that with NFT, right?
You can, right? So a great question, right? So now that is the proof of ownership that we just spoke about. Now, whenever you can prove that you actually hold that NFT in your wallet, that's proof of ownership. Okay. And not just that. So one is proof of ownership. The other one is there are very interesting use cases that can be built around NFTs. For instance, imagine you are a creator and you've created a video, which is very interesting. And you would want probably to mint it as an NFT and start earning money out of it for whatever reason. You believe that's possible. Now, as the exchange happens, the ownership transfer happens from one person to another. You could probably, because you're the original minter, you could get 5% transaction fee because you're the creator fee, right? So all of those things are possible only because the entire history of ownership is recorded on the blockchain and I know exactly who the real owner is.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that's the powerful piece of NFTs. And my guess is NFTs are going to transform the way complete media industry is operating right now with so many intermediaries in between. Very soon, if you look at projects like Audius and others, creators are going to take the biggest piece out of the revenue, right? So
yeah.
That's a long-winded answer.
Yeah, it's huge in the marketing field as well. A lot of content creators are big on NFTs and they're launching their own NFTs. Joe Poluzzi, he's the founder of Content Marketing Institute, and he recently launched his own NFT. I was also listening to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher yesterday on Dax Shepard's podcast, and they were talking. They're really knowledgeable about NFTs. They're big into cryptos. They own a lot of NFTs. And here's the thing. They're launching an NFT-only show. This show will be can be viewed only by people who have their NFTs. They have something called Stoner Cats. And only if you have a bunch of these NFTs, you can view this show. So I think we are still at a very nascent stage when it comes to NFTs. There's huge potential for it, I'm pretty sure. But here's my next question. And Srikanth, you can definitely add to how you would define NFTs. If you can make it simpler for our listeners, that would be great. Vijay has done a great job. Every time you discuss NFTs, there are more questions that come up, right? For example, I would really like to know why CryptoPunks are so popular on OpenSea. And we don't have time to delve into that aspect of it. So here's my next question. As far as I'm aware, and until recently, I thought NFTs could only be minted on the Ethereum blockchain. And they are available for purchase on marketplaces like OpenSea. Vijay told me a couple of days back that there are Solana NFTs as well, and they are built on the Solana blockchain. So what are the key differentiators between NFTs that are built on the Ethereum blockchain versus NFTs that are built on Solana?
Yeah, it's a very, you're right. I mean, it's kind of a different concept to understand when NFT as a concept itself is very new to a lot of people. Trying to understand, hey, what are NFTs on Ethereum versus what are NFTs on Solana or any other different blockchains, right? So essentially, when we're talking about NFTs, people confuse it with just the images. So as Vijay was rightly mentioning earlier, right? So the media or the asset itself could be lying anywhere. It could just be part of, you know, an AWS storage or cloud storage. There are storages which are kind of decentralized and called IPFS storage systems, which are kind of a lot more decentralized than a traditional AWS or cloud storage that you would see. However, the media asset we're talking about is not really the NFT. Essentially, it's the ownership or the ability to say that, hey, you know what? This is an NFT owned by a certain person or minted by a certain person. Now, the I mean, the role that Ethereum or Solana or any other blockchain plays is essentially keeping a public record of the time when it was minted. And then from there on, all the transactions between the exchanges that happened between different people. So the NFTs on Ethereum and NFTs on Solana, if you compare the images and stuff, the quality, there's absolutely no difference. Right? You can pretty much launch any kind of NFTs on Ethereum or Solana. What differs is essentially the fundamental on the blockchain itself, right? Ethereum is the most popular programmable blockchain today, which is the smart contract. So that's why kind of, you know, that's where the NFTs also originated from. And to also kind of slightly answer why CryptoPunks are popular is because it's probably the first or the oldest NFTs today, right? It's almost like, you know, the paintings from Esther years. So that's why they're popular. However, you can launch the same NFTs or similar NFTs on Solana, but again, you have the same advantage that we just spoke about, right? As a network or as a platform, Solana is extremely fast. In order to mint an NFT on Ethereum, you will end up spending a lot of money, whereas to do the same thing on Solana, you'll spend a lot less money as a creator or as a minter. And of course, you can also transact those NFTs. So the image itself, it's, I mean, it doesn't necessarily change.
Mm-hmm. Something to add, Vijay?
Nothing. I think NFTs themselves, like I said, it's just proof of ownership, and these records can lie in any blockchain, which is not censored, not editable, right? Mutable. So yeah, that's it. So there are AVAX, for instance. Avalanche is another chain which can have these. So there can be multiple instances of the of these NFTs in different L1 chains.
Right. Okay, so what if, let's say, one of the major NFT artists decides to migrate to Solana? Is that possible? Yes. Like CryptoPunks, for example, they're not happy with Ethereum blockchain anymore and they decide to migrate to Solana. Is that possible, and how will this impact their revenue?
Yeah, so it is possible to migrate your art, right? Because you're not migrating the media itself. What you're migrating is essentially all the subsequent the transactions and the ownership history. Okay. However, what is not possible is that once an entity or an asset is created, and if it is owned by a certain person who is not, say, the owner of a project like CryptoPunk itself, there is no way to destroy it.
Okay, got it.
Because imagine that you own, so there is an art that was created by a certain artist, and there were 100 copies. And let's say you happen to be the owner of one of those pieces. There is no way a creator can move all the 100 pieces, because now you are the owner, unless you agree that piece will not be moved. It is always hanging in your living room.
Okay. No, but here's the thing. Now, if a creator is getting one Ethereum on, let's say, at OpenSea, he's getting, just an example, he's getting one Ethereum. Traditionally, the average average sale price for his art is one Ethereum, which is, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000, close to that. But Solana, let's say, so would that be similarly priced in the Solana market space, or will it be cheaper?
No, so the price itself is completely determined by the market itself, right? So what is the dynamics, how many people are willing to buy, the price moves up and down, or sometimes it could be flat, depends on the creator himself, right? So he sets the price. So the question is similar to the marketplace, does not change, right? The market dynamics don't change. What changes is transaction costs.
Okay.
So you're still selling for $1,000, but it's just that cost of transaction has become cheaper, and it's also faster.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Just an example of how that works. I mean, imagine that there is an NFT that you are selling for, say, one Ethereum. In order to change the ownership of one Ethereum, which is, say, roughly around $3,000, you'll probably end up spending another $250 on top of that $3,000 to kind of buy that asset from someone else.
Okay.
Whereas on Solana, if the asset is worth $3,000, you'll probably pay $3,000 plus a few cents to buy the same asset. So that $250 is the difference between NFT on Solana versus Ethereum.
Got it. Here's a really stupid question, and we can cut this out if it doesn't make sense. Let's say SolRazer becomes phenomenally successful. Let's say it's the next Microsoft or Twitter. Can I convert this episode, this episode into an NFT. Is that possible? Let's say this is the first podcast interview given by the founders of Soulraiser. Can I do that?
Yeah, please do not cut this. And we hope that it comes to fruition.
Yeah, as long as all three of us are owners, I think we are completely
okay. Awesome. So anything, any digital, so tomorrow if Bill Gates decides that the first email he ever sent could be listed as an NFT, say in the Solana market space, can that be done?
Yes. Yeah, whatever can be done on Ethereum can be done better and faster.
Okay.
Just that the market share right now is not as great.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Growing, but...
Right. Now let's get into, Shrikant, you were saying something?
No, I think where I was going with this is that, Ethereum is well known and extremely popular, right? So most of the people who kind of want to come into cryptocurrency space, they usually land up in Ethereum first.
Right.
And then people, after a while, they realize the problems of Ethereum, and then they move to blockchains like a Solana. Developers, builders, or even people who transact, and in terms of NFTs, the both collectors and creators. So Ethereum still continues to be the gateway for bringing in people from the outside. Largely, I'm not saying that there are people who are not directly jumping into Solana, but largely people come into Ethereum and then they quickly realize the problems and then they move to Solana.
Okay. That's a really interesting point. And I think the influencers and celebrities also have a lot to do with pushing a particular cryptocurrency, like how Elon Musk is tied with Dogecoin or Snoop Dogg is tied with Dogecoin. Similarly, you have a lot of supporters for Bitcoin. And tomorrow, if you have a massive celebrity backing Solana, suddenly you'll see the price going up. It can be very speculative when that happens. And that also brings in new retail investors. And obviously, when you have more people buying into a particular cryptocurrency, the value goes up. So, So let's jump into Soulraiser now. And before that, I would like you to explain what exactly do you mean by Solana ecosystem, and how does your crypto company Soulraiser fit into the scheme of things, and what type of projects will Soulraiser support?
Okay, so in terms of what we mean by decentralized developer ecosystem for Solana blockchain, right? So it's a complex set of words placed together.
Yeah.
We didn't realize that it was that complex when we were actually having it, but let's try and simplify it. Right? So decentralized, mainly because we want to make sure that the community that is participating and holding our tokens has a say in terms of what the roadmap is going to be, what kind of projects do we list on this platform and all of this, right? So the vision is to involve the community, not just as a token holders, but also decision makers with voting rights to decide what we as a company in the future do. And these are already there, right? There are a lot of, these are called decentralized autonomous organizations. We want to head that route. So that's the word number one, right? So, and then developer ecosystem. So in crypto, any project, if somebody is building a project, of course the developer as a word is used loosely here. What we're trying to say is anybody who's trying to build on Solana is a developer, not essentially an engineer or a programmer who's trying to develop something. So now decentralized developer ecosystem is essentially what does a company need when they're trying to start up something, right? So capital and go-to-market help and being able to do the right thing at the right time and launch fast, right? That's exactly what we provide as a service. So we help them raise capital. And the interesting part of raising capital is this is not via VCs or high net worth individuals who are trying to, and they have networks, they have the ability to help this project also. So that's the reason people raise money from VCs and angel investors, because they have a network that they carry and they can help the project bootstrap faster, right? So in addition to that, we also want to make sure that the retail investors like you and me, if you think the project is going to go big, you don't have to wait until it is listed on a public platform or an exchange before you can participate and buy the token. So you can do that now if you believe that this project is going to be successful, let me participate. So that's the raise capital piece of what we do. And in terms of, and we also have an accelerator. What it essentially does is while we've gone through our journey of starting SolRaiser, there have been so many partners we've been speaking to, audit companies, liquidity providers, and there are multiple host of partner companies that we've spoken to. And we realized that that exercise in itself is going to take time for any new company starting, right? So mm-hmm. we want to have a huge umbrella of these partners under our belt where a new project starts. They already have a ready-made set of, hey, if this is a problem, speak to these three people, they will solve. We're not planning to solve it ourselves all, but we want mm-hmm. to give the right choices to the partners or the projects which want to raise on our platform, right? And mm-hmm. thirdly, developer tools. Both of us are engineers ourselves. And while we started working on Ethereum, we realized it was easy. And then when we switched to Solana, yes, there is a steep learning curve. Once you have the learning curve, things get, once we cross the chasm, right, things get a lot more easier. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that we want to do, right? Build developer tools. So that you can very quickly, so like what do I mean when I say developer tools? Like these mm-hmm. are like monitoring, debugging, testing, deployment tools that, you know, any programming language and SDKs that are needed, et cetera, that you can easily provide so that you can build fast. A lot of templates for you to work with. Again, we're not going to do everything on our own. We're going to build on community. There are some templates that are already available. There are open source communities that we will tap into. And overall, that gives us the confidence that, you know, we can execute on this roadmap and provide everything that any project that needs to launch on Solana can get from SolRaiser.
Okay, great. Also, I like the analogy that you used in the beginning where you said it's like Kickstarter for Solana projects, that, you know, you'll have a list of projects that retail investors can invest in. So so right now it's when you said it went live, is it only for these Solana developers apply to your platform? Or is it open for retail investors as well?
Very good question. So let me clarify this, right? So we went public yesterday. What essentially that means is so far we've been in stealth mode. We announced to the world that SolRaiser exists. Now, what happens next is, since we are a fundraising platform and one of our missions is to include retail investors in the process of our fundraising as well. So the first project that's going to be launched on our platform is our platform itself. So SolRaiser's public fundraise will also happen on SolRaiser. So we're going to invite a lot of retail investors willing to participate in our whitelist process very soon. But the dates have not been confirmed and the process itself is confirmed, but not public yet. So as soon as dates and information is, as soon as we're ready, you'll hear a lot about what is the next steps in terms of how to participate in our own token sale.
Okay, fantastic. Can you share some of the top features of SolRaiser, both for developers and retail investors?
Sure. So, reiterating some of the things that Vijay has already mentioned, right? So in terms of a launchpad, right? So one of the ways that we can be looked at is probably comparing ourselves to some of the similar projects that were launched in the past. For retail investors who are already familiar with the crypto ecosystem, examples like Polka Starter. And in fact, we are incubated and partnered by the same team that were behind Polka Starter. And that is probably the first as well as the most popular a fundraising or a launchpad platform in cryptocurrency ecosystem today. So we are going to be the same platform, but for Solana projects. That is one. So that's essentially what we're doing. And today on Solana, since it's a growing market, there is not a lot of competition out there, and we are going to be one of the first platforms to help projects raise capital. And obviously, comparing ourselves to the rest of the launchpads outside Solana, the immediate and the most obvious feature is that the projects can raise capital at lightning speed because it is not with Solana, and also the retail community can participate with absolutely or negligible transaction costs. So that is one top feature. But most importantly, what we're also doing is, since we are a decentralized fundraising platform, we want to essentially ensure that the participation or the allocation that the community gets in any of the fundraisers, be it SolRaiser's own token sale that is going to go live soon, as well as all the projects that we launch on our own launchpad, we want to keep it extremely fair and decentralized. And we are kind of trying to do that by kind of reimagining what NFTs can do. It's both gameplay using NFTs, as well as there's a legit use case. Essentially today, if you are one of the community members who participated in our own token sale, and as Vijay was saying earlier, by holding our tokens, you get access to all the other token sales that will happen in the future.
Okay.
But as Sandeep, if you are the token holder, only you can participate. What we're doing with NFTs is that by giving you NFTs and verifying NFTs as the ownership or the allocation, we are still creating a secondary market. Or more importantly, we can let you transfer that allocation to any of your friends and family. It doesn't have to be you who wants to participate in the future. All you get is an allocation in the form of an NFT, and you can transfer that NFT to anyone, and they can participate in any of the tokens. That's a pretty interesting feature that we're solving. And at the same time, like I said, we are creating a secondary market for the allocations itself.
Okay.
So that's a big innovation that we're doing in the space. And I believe we probably are the only launchpad platform to do that today.
Okay, got it.
So that's the biggest differentiator. And the other ones are, as Vijay has already mentioned, the top features are essentially building a developer tools to help projects move faster. We'll also going to build a cross-chain pools where other community members from Ethereum, Polkadot, and other platforms can also participate as well.
Okay.
But those are the immediate top features that we have in our roadmap over the next few months.
Okay. You also mentioned the allocation model of SolRaiser on your website. Can you briefly explain what that is? Because for me, it was all Greek and Latin. So if you can just explain the allocation model that you have there.
Yeah. So we have two things when it comes to allocations. One, again, this is not immediately applicable for allocations to our own token sale, which is going to go live, because the future allocation model revolves around the utility of our own token. And for our allocation, it's going to be different. So what I'm going to say is applicable only to the future token sales. So once you have SolRaiser tokens, we have divided into four different tiers. People who belong to, or people who hold a certain number of tokens, they become part of one of the four tiers. And each tier has a certain percentage of the entire pool. Imagine this project A who wants to raise $1 million through our platform. They come and set up that fundraising pool, which allows community to participate and give them $1 million. However, that $1 million is not given equally to every single investor. It is divided into different percentages to people who belong to different tiers. Someone holding 5,000 Solar tokens, Solar token is the token for SolRaiser, would get access to a certain percentage of the 1 million. And someone who's holding 10,000 SolRaiser tokens will get access to slightly more percentage of the 1 million pool. And similarly, it goes on into the tiers. And then based on this, as I was saying earlier, the NFTs are the ones that get generated as you stake our tokens. And these NFTs are verified when you want to participate in the future token sales. That is how allocations work.
Okay, got it. Now, my podcast is called Marketing Mantra. So we have to discuss some of the marketing secrets behind SolRaiser and whatever you're comfortable sharing. Because I think you are not just creating awareness for your own platform, but you're also building awareness for Solana. And I think Solana is one of the few cryptocurrencies out there which doesn't yet have a Wikipedia page. So if you give a search on Solana Wiki right now, it just goes to the Solana website, right? So there's some bit of awareness you are generating through SolRaiser. So if you can just share some of the things you have done in terms of user acquisition, in terms of other online marketing things that have helped you, that'll be great.
So marketing is it's a tricky thing when it comes to cryptocurrencies, right? So typically there are a lot of tactics, a lot of projects utilized when it comes to marketing. I think one of the most important tactics is essentially building a community that will stay with us for the long term. And we are not just talking about a community that is going to be part of SolRaiser alone. The community that we are going to build is going to be part of all the future projects that we launch on our platform, because these are the people who will also participate in the fundraising of other projects. So typically, mm-hmm. essentially, SolRaiser becoming a gateway for building communities for projects in the long term. So our idea is essentially to keep it as decentralized as possible. So that is our marketing strategies entirely for a while. We can't reveal what kind of marketing strategies that we're following exactly because, like mm-hmm. I said, it's a big question to answer here. But the focus is on building community that will stay with us for the long term. And we want this community to be as big as possible. The entire reason why we built SolRaiser in the first place is to help. I mean, we started with the number called hundreds of thousands of investors, but we are now looking at millions of investors. That's a real possibility with what's going on today. So obviously we want to reach out to those many people. So we want to be as decentralized as possible. Yeah.
Okay.
But without going into the specifics, if I had to add a little more to what Srikanth said, right? So there are a few things, especially for the crypto projects in the crypto ecosystem that you need to be mindful mm-hmm. of, right? One is Twitter is where most of the action happens. So there's almost a term called crypto Twitter. This is CT. Mm. I don't know if you've heard of it, but yeah. So that's one place where we spend a lot of time on, and then Telegram and then Discord. These are the different channels. Mm-hmm. And then comes website and other places, right? So it's a little inverted that way.
So when you say community building, you are talking about building communities on Twitter, Discord and Telegram.
Okay. That's right. Yes.
Okay. So these are the three main channels you'll be focusing on. I also observed that you don't have a blog yet. There is a link on your website to your blog, but there's no blog post out there currently. Do you also plan to have a content strategy where you are going to publish blog posts on a consistent basis?
We have a content calendar. We have some milestones and outcomes in terms of what we want to achieve with content. And we've been barely live for the last 24 hours. So see more content on the blog post. By now, you should see a couple of blog posts already.
Okay. If you see the website. Yeah, the last time I checked your website was yesterday. So go ahead.
So yesterday evening, since today morning, there were a couple of blog posts. In fact, our press release or public announcement went live yesterday evening, I think around 6:37 p.m.
Oh, I can see that now. Yes. Yeah, so there's a couple of SolRaiser and nice. So I think we've covered almost everything except one last bit. If our listeners would like to learn more about you, your company, where can we send them online? That is aside from your website, which is SolRaiser.com. I'll be listing all of these resources down in the show notes. So can you please tell us where, we can send them online?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely start with our Twitter handle, twitter.com/SolRaiser, SolRaiser_app. Mm-hmm. I think that's one source and it will connect you to all the other things. Essentially, the three channels that I mentioned, Twitter, Telegram, and Discord. You will find all the links there.
Twitter and Telegram is where I would recommend all the users to become part. We have a community channel where people can come in and talk. I mean, that's the strength of the community. I mean, in Twitter, yes, you can engage with the tweets, the community answers real time where everyone is discussing. So Twitter and Telegram is where I would recommend all the new members who wants to know more about SolRaiser to come and part of this.
Fantastic. And one last question is your prediction on Solana. Where do you think Solana is headed in the next few years? If we are talking about, say, placing an ambitious value to Solana, and we've already given a caveat to the listeners. So if we are being really ambitious, where do you think Solana's value is headed?
I think I kind of answered that question indirectly. I'll still keep it indirect. So in terms of, let's not discuss the price directly, but I think from a top three coins point of view, I think it'll be a set of BTC, ETH, and SOL is my prediction. Mm-hmm. In any, I do not know the order also.
Right. It's going to be very close. I think definitely top three to top five.
Nice.
Projects over the next few years.
Right. For sure. Awesome. So there was this Bloomberg article last month. It was listing Solana as the 10th most popular cryptocurrency. Now it's at number 7. So it's rising quite steadily. But it's also a little scary when the value goes so high so soon, right? When your investments go 3x, 4x, you know something is happening. There is a speculative nature involved to it. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I see a lot of developments happening in the Solana ecosystem. And I wish you all the best in the future. And I'm really looking forward to the launch of Solraiser for retail investors, because that's something that I'm really interested in. As a crypto investor, I would really like to be a part of your platform. And I'm sure my listeners would also like to be a part of your platform. And we'll have all the resources listed down in the show notes. So anyone who's listening right now can check those, can check the show notes and click on these resources. Srikant, Vijay, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. I really enjoyed the conversation we had. And to our listeners, we have links to everything we discussed in the show notes. So check that out. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.
Marketing Mantra with Sandeep Mallya is a podcast by 99 Signals, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of online marketing topics. To get started, visit 99signals.com/best to check out all the top-rated articles on the blog, or simply view the description of each episode to download free online marketing resources to level up your marketing skills. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question or topic suggestion for Sandeep? Simply send a voice message via Anchor app or send an email to podcasts@99signals.com. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Marketing Mantra on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any major podcast player.